Williams House begins now. And as I said during the 9 o'clock hour, I really do. I love it when we get to talk to players. Now, it would have been nice to be able to work the locker room and talk to some other guys yesterday. Didn't get to talk to Zach Tom, for instance. Wanted to talk to my guy, Dontavion Wicks, because I still think that there's a chance he could be the breakout guy this season. But maybe I'm biased. But we did have six players who were delivered to us to speak, and they all spoke for a minimum of 10 minutes, some for much longer. And Edgerrin Cooper was interesting. We'll get to some of the things he said maybe tomorrow. But Jordan Love was the main attraction. And I had a couple of things I wanted to get to with him. One was his own expectations for year three. And two, what Matt LaFleur had said after the season about becoming more of a vocal leader and how he goes about balancing his leadership style with doing what his coach wants. And so those were the questions I asked him. And I think I asked them in succession. We'll find out, because here it is.
You know, Matt told us after the season he was going to challenge you to be more vocal.
How do you feel like this?
But how do you find the balance in being who you are? Like, we know how you are with one-on-one guys. You were just talking about it, right? But how do you kind of find the balance of doing what he's looking for and still being yourself? And what was that conversation like with Matt when he asked you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, with leadership and speaking vocally to guys, it's always, you got to be yourself. You know, you never want to be forcing things or sound like a message isn't coming from you. It's coming from somebody else. So it's always trying to find that balance of being yourself. But I think the biggest thing is just having those hard conversations with guys when, you know, something needs to get done and it might not be getting done the right way or might not be handling business the right way, is just having those hard conversations and not just calling guys out, but just having those conversations with them aside, being that type of leadership. You know, I think I get along with all these guys. I can speak to them very well. You know, that's never been a problem. I think it's holding people accountable with everything we do.
When you talk about you don't use the injuries as an excuse, obviously, but when you look at this being your third season, and I'm not comparing you to the other guy, but he did win a Super Bowl in his third season, how do you kind of view the importance for you to kind of take the next step in your game? If you can stay healthy and be who you are, what do you think you're capable of this season?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think you talk about Super Bowl, that's the goal for us. You know, that's, we talked about that last year, and that's the same message this year, is we're trying to win a Super Bowl. So I'm definitely trying to be that guy to be able to take this team and lead them to that. You know, I think when you talk about Aaron and what he did in his third year, you know, I never try and compare, because, you know, that's so hard to do. There's so many different situations that go on. But at the end of the day, like you said, you know, I've been here going on year six, going on my third year playing. So, you know, everything's right there in front of us and for this team. So it's just about going out there executing. But the goal is definitely a Super Bowl. That's the mindset we have. And we're going to put in the work to be able to hopefully get there.
Tausch, how did you think he handled that?
I thought he handled it like a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody should be surprised. He, just like LaFleur and really just like any player, when it comes to dealing with the media and dealing with kind of a locker room, you learn, you grow, and you get more comfortable. And the more comfortable you are, the better leader you're going to be. Because there's nothing worse than somebody that's super uncomfortable trying to get up and give a speech or to try and do something. It has to be from kind of the core of who you are, and guys receive things when you know it's authentic. And I think for Jordan knows that. He is, I think, when you're looking at this, how he's handled himself from day one when he was put in a really tough spot to the COVID to all of the other things where he didn't, you know, get an opportunity. He had guys saying that he couldn't make any wow throws and that he was this and that. I don't even know what he looks like because he never had a jersey on for the first year. Mm-hmm. I heard a producer on an ESPN Wisconsin show say that. You heard all this stuff, and he has just handled his business, and he's kind of evolved as it's went. And that answer is literally exactly, if you're a PR firm or a front office, it's exactly what you want him to say. You know, don't run from it. Embrace it and understand that he's getting more and more comfortable, and the more and more comfortable that you get in those settings and the better understanding of who your teammates are, the better leader you're going to be. And I think this is going to be something to watch, because I don't think Jordan is ever going to be Johnny Rah-Rah. Like, I don't think that's who he is. I think you're going to see him be much more of an example guy, and kind of like Charles Woodson in the respect of when he speaks, it's going to carry a lot of weight. I don't think he's going to be, I'm giving a speech before every game, let's get fired up. I think it's going to much more be, hey, this isn't good enough. We need to do it again. You know, do it again. Really holding guys accountable, and I think that's the messaging that Jordan had right there.
What about the staying within yourself leadership style? Can you identify with? Because you were obviously a leader on the offensive line, and you could certainly speak up as a group to the group when you wanted to. Were you comfortable with that, or were you more, you know, like Raleigh McKenzie was with you, of, hey, one-on-one helping guys that asked for the help to understand things? But I know quarterback and tackle are not the same. I'm not equating them. But in terms of, you know, personality, you have to be yourself. The other players that we talked to yesterday, especially Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs, talked about how he is speaking up more in meetings and making corrections of guys, which I don't know about you, but I could see that being one of the things that maybe you don't want to do in a meeting. You're not comfortable because you don't want to call guys out, and you don't want them to feel like you're doing that. So, again, having been in those meetings, what is your feeling about that line between being more vocal and being yourself?
Jordan just said you can't force it, and I don't want – I'm probably – quarterback, you're thrust into it. I don't care if you want to speak or if you don't. If you're a quiet guy, it's demanding. It's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's evaluated and scrutinized to the point that it is. You could be Anthony Munoz, and if you don't say a word, nobody's going to care because you're Anthony Munoz. You're a left tackle. You're going to go about your job, and that will be the case. Of all the teams I've been on, you know, 16, you know, if you count Wisconsin, I'm not going to go all the way back to high school. The teams that were always talking and having team meetings and having players-only meetings, it's typically when the ball had gone too far, and it was probably a wrap already. Mm-hmm. You need to address stuff as it's happening, and those little things, I mean, Rodgers was great at in a full offensive meeting room, asking questions and not being a jerk, but basically just saying you need to know that. We'd all sit, we'd do the hand signals, we'd go through questions, and it was just making sure guys knew what they were doing.
Right.
And that's not being a jerk. Like, your job is to know what the heck is going on. Now, if you want to ask a left tackle what route Jordy had on a cover two, you're probably not going to, and you don't put guys in that position unless you want to have some laughs, which was fun too. But holding guys accountable, that's not being a jerk, and that's being a good teammate. Because everybody in there wants to win. And sometimes guys need to learn how to go about doing that. And I think that's where the quarterback has to lead. The quarterback has to know what that receiver's doing. The quarterback has to know what that left tackle's doing. If this linebacker declared, we move a linebacker declaration, and all of a sudden now I know my left tackle's got to squeeze down, I'm hot off that defensive end. It's a big burden. That's why they make big bucks, because that is what is expected of them, and they just want to make sure that you know what you're doing, because it is a reflection on them as a leader if you don't know what's going
right
on.
Yeah, and you would also say that the quarterback has to play well. Again, not Superman, sometimes just Clark Kent, but has to play well for that leadership to have the maximum impact. Because if he's not doing his job, he can be a great leader all he wants, but if he's not playing at an acceptable or high level, it doesn't necessarily work. Is that fair to say or not?
I would, unfortunately, It's a good question. I don't have the capability of answering it because the guys I played for
right.
were stars and did it.
Right.
You'd have to go and ask a Trent – no offense to Trent Dilfer, but you'd have to go and ask a Trent Dilfer-led team or somebody yeah. that has led a team that maybe isn't the greatest thrower of the football and didn't have all the skill sets that a Brett and an Aaron had. Obviously, it's a heck of a lot easier to lead and to have guys follow when you're the best in the business at it because everybody wants to make sure they're on board. It is more difficult if you're struggling and you're throwing 26 interceptions in a season and you're sitting there calling out certain guys and you're kind of looking at it like, well, you know, if you'd stop throwing picks, we'd win games.
Right. Right. All right. There's a bunch of other things we want to get to today, but we got to make a quick trip to Quick Trip first. Where I was yesterday, I got a corn dog yesterday. I don't know when the last time was I had a corn dog. But it was satisfying. I was very pleased with my choice.
That is fantastic. Life is busy and Quick Trip gets it, whether you're craving that fresh coffee, a corn dog, a tasty bakery treat. You know, they got those great boneless wings right now. That's going on. We had the juicy chicken tenders yesterday for $9.99. Everything that you're looking for, you can grab a crispy chicken sandwich, perfect for a quick bite. Or you can get an 8-piece fried chicken meal that feeds the whole crew. The legend on your plate and flavor that rules the roost. But you know that's not the only deal that's going on. There's always great chicken deals going on. But now, Kitchen Cravings, 5-ounce sirloin beef steaks, 2 for $4. Nature's Touch American Cheese Singles, 12-ounce packages for $1.99. And Nature's Touch Milk is just $1.99 as well. Fuel your day with high-quality taste. Quick Trip is your one stop for variety, quality, and fast service. You get gas, free air for your tires, clean restrooms, everything Quick Trip has you covered. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of all that Quick Trip has to offer. Quick Rewards on every visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
Next, we'll hear from Josh Jacobs, who sounded a lot like Brian Gutekunst. Talking about urgency, we also had a very good exchange about the number one wide receiver comment that he made down at the Super Bowl, and I did think he got a kick out of me pointing out, well, they did draft a wide receiver in the first round, so maybe. I even think I did a little bit of the Brian Windhorst. We'll get to that and more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. Beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel that beautiful day.
To let it get away on the road. Continuing with the highlights from yesterday's open to the media OTA practice. Now, we have not talked yet about Jaden Reed and the meeting and Rosenhaus and misinterpretations. We'll get to that. That was certainly interesting, but in my opinion, and I'm certainly wrong frequently, just ask Paula. I still.
What am I asking Paula about? What'd you do wrong?
That I'm wrong. Well, we don't have enough time. We've been on the clock, and I don't want to change
just
that
give me
by
one thing.
Outlining my
just give me one thing.
List of things. I'll. Let me think of the good. Let me think of a good one that'll make people laugh, because it's a long list.
I didn't clean a dish overnight, and I heard about that this morning. We're just gonna talk about our shortcomings.
Good one.
Dynamite dropping.
LaFleur felt there was in Jordan Love's leadership was not being vocal enough. We obviously heard from Jordan Love talking about that, but more importantly, I wanted to know what guys that play with him thought. And among the people we talked to yesterday was Josh Jacobs. And I thought Josh Jacobs had a very interesting view and very positive review of Jordan Love embracing the challenge that Matt LaFleur issued after the season. Here's Josh Jacobs.
Matt challenged Jordan after the season to be more of a vocal leader.
Yeah.
Does he seem any...
He already doing it. He already doing it.
Mm-hmm. In what ways are you seeing that? Because he also still has to be true to himself.
Yeah.
And the way he is.
Yeah, I think Jordan, I think he's comfortable. You know, like, and what I mean by that is, like, he understands this offense in and out. He understands defenses. So now he's at the point where he can just play and really be who he is. But he definitely has been more vocal, whether it's at practice or even in the meetings, man. If he sees something he don't like, he's speaking up. And, you know, that's something that me and him also talked about, you know, just about being a guy. You know, you the quarterback. You got to be that guy. And I'm not saying that he's not that guy, because he definitely is, but just on a more vocal level. But he's definitely stepped up a lot this year. I've definitely seen a big change in it.
So I really like that about him talking about being the guy.
I love how he interrupts you. That's what I loved.
I figured you might. He was very excited to answer that question. It wasn't even like I'm that long-winded with him. He did that to me earlier, too, because I was giving that stat that I'm so obsessed with about yards after contact. We got to play that tomorrow, because he knew the stat, which a lot of times you'll bring up a stat like you with the explosive plays that they had last year. You had no idea. You were like, wow, I didn't know that. Josh Jacobs knew the stat. But what he also knows is Jordan Love, and that he is the guy. The fact that Jordan Love is being more vocal and that Josh Jacobs is encouraging him to embrace being the guy, I think those are two very encouraging signs. And you should feel good about the fact that Josh Jacobs feels so good about his quarterback. Agree or disagree?
No doubt. You always want your quarterback to be the guy, because they have to be the guy. And what you don't want is to have to fake it and, well, he might be the guy. Mm-hmm. I thought last year, you know, you had Jordan come in. He did not have his contract. He was not going to practice. And there was a little bit of, you know, not that there was uncertainty, because you knew he was going to be the starting quarterback. But now you just see and kind of feel he played last season. You know, he had a lot of good moments. And his teammates saw that. But now this offseason, man, I'm getting paid. I'm mm-hmm. one of the top dogs. And I think the word he said it, typically in sports, comfortability is not what you want to hear.
Right.
But there is a sense of you're going to be at your best when you're not thinking and you're just going out and playing. And you can just, you don't have all of, Barry Alvarez used to always tell us, at Wisconsin, don't have all this other stuff weighing you down. Parking tickets and, oh, it's your moped. You want to come in with clear mind, clear heart, just be ready to play. And when you don't have to worry about a contract, you don't have to worry about all that other stuff, you can just kind of free roll and let it ride. And I think that Jordan Love, for the first time, is going to be at that point in an off season, and then you let that build into training camp, and you're more comfortable because you're secure in your spot on the team and in your kind of where you're at on the roster and as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And it takes a little bit to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Even though you're a first-round pick and all this other stuff, it's still – you still have to go through that process, and your teammates need to see you go through that process to see you become that comfortable leader that it sounds as if Jordan Love is becoming.
I agree with everything you said there. I am curious.
Even the moped thing?
No. That's actually where I was going, because I didn't want to say meep, because then he gets after me. How many moped tickets did you have, and were there guys that it was affecting their performance because they were so worried about the number of parking tickets they had accumulated?
This is where you let the minutiae get in the way of the point I was making.
No, that's why I said I agreed with everything you said.
No.
It was really good.
Don't get defensive. You kind of called it out, and it's actually a really interesting point.
Perfect.
Because there's obviously big things, family things, and you're in college and you're trying to figure things out. the point that Coach Alvarez was making was, don't let those little things off the field affect the big things on the field. Mm. And a parking ticket and a moped violation. Or yes, everybody had mopeds, and there were things. You didn't have your proper licensing on it. Oh, I rode with two people. I got a ticket. Oh, da, 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 da. So it's these little things, and that is the stuff that he mentioned that I remember 20-some-odd years later. So while you probably laugh and say, oh, is there a lot of stuff, it's the reminder of when you have other things distracting you, you can't focus the way you need to be the pro, or at that point, the amateur, that you need to be successful on a football field. What are you staring at?
I'm pretty sure that what you just delivered was exactly what I was looking for when I asked about the moped tickets. Like, that was a really interesting tiny piece.
Oh, you're so old.
Some might say the minutia of a really good point that you made.
Good minutia.
And I thought it might lead to a funny little anecdote, which it did, you jackwagon. Like, it literally, you did exactly what I was hoping would happen there.
So what are you,
and you like scolded
why are you yelling
me for
at me
it.
Then?
You get hung up on the minutia. I'm yelling at you.
I think you were acting like we were doing Dukes of Hazzard skits with our mopeds and like jumping over canyon pits of gravel. Like that's, I didn't have that. The point was,
were you?
Little things will add up and big things down
there?
The road. Don't let that happen.
What is this?
Was some road. I'm going to tell you this. I always love.
You get up and, another good story from the bullpen question.
Well, just wait a second. I'm not sure this would be a good story or not. But the old days, we'd have to get, you know, the spree. It used to be a spree, which
uh-huh.
is not enough CCs to get some of us up Bascom Hill. So we'd wind on that bad boy, and it would be, and people would be walking by us as we're driving up Bascom Hill. So we'd go and we'd have to get a 50cc as the cutoff between being a motorcycle and a moped. So oh if you boy. Got 50 cc's of horsepower, you now went from you'd have to get a motorcycle license instead of a moped. That was the cutoff. And you'd wake up and you'd have an early morning workout, and there'd be just a light dusting of snow. And you always had to make that tough call. Do I moped over to workout? But I'd have to put my feet down like Freddie Flintstone, and you'd get a hell of a core workout because the moped, it was greasy, and you didn't want to flip it, but you couldn't just drive it because you couldn't control it. That was always that battle line that we'd have to do, and then you'd get in, and you'd be like, Coach, I got my core workout in. I already mopeded 3 miles over to the stadium, and usually JD told us to kick rocks and go plank ourselves. That's kind of how that shook itself out.
Those were great stories. From your time at the University of Wisconsin. And now, many years later, not only are you an alumnus of the University of Wisconsin, you're also a member of UW Credit Union.
For every stage of life, moped stage, Packer stage, radio stage, UW Credit Union, they're here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, old T, why did you join UW Credit Union? Is it to keep your banking local? Well, yep. Member first service, absolutely. Great perks, like early payday. And, Jesse, they have this thing where you can actually take a picture of your check and do it that way. I don't know if you heard that, but they have that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a deal. But, honestly, Bucky, how do you say no to that little rascal? If you love Wisconsin like I do and you just can't pay with anything else, Fandom will make you do crazy things, but man, does this make sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I do. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
We've gotten this deep in the show. We have not talked at length about Jaden Reed. We have not talked at length about the Jair Alexander conundrum, which continues to linger without a resolution. We'll change that because one of the players we talked to yesterday was Xavier McKinney, and he talked about Jair. And you'll hear what he said next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Xavier, have a minute, why don't we go?
to give a little glimpse into my thought process. We'll get to McKinney and Jair in a second. So Tausch and I have been doing this a long time. And he knows that when we do too many Tausch tangential conversations and not enough Packers, I get, as he likes to say, hivey. Itchy. I'm itching. So we have gone all Packers all the time for the first hour and 42 minutes of this show. And so my thought after the mention of the sprees, not the candy, the moped, maybe Tausch get a little itchy. Because it's all been kind of hardcore Packers. So I asked the follow-up. I didn't really understand your reaction to it, but that's okay. And we got a couple of really good stories. I just want to take this time to pause. We'll get back to Packers in a second after the OTA practice yesterday. But have I neglected to give you a chance to have a chance to talk about anything else non-Packers related during the first hour and 43 minutes of the program that you have been itching to talk about? Because that is what makes this show great. And I feel like all the times when I complain about the balance being too much weighted toward your nonsense, I feel like the balance has been far too weighted to the Packers' substance so far today.
No, I am fine. I'm fine. I'm not going to take any pot shots at you here. I am more than happy.
Well, no, please. What was the pot shot going to be? No, because it's worse now that you said that. Because now that's like basically implying, well, if I take a pot shot, then you're going to be sensitive and it's you can't hack it. So come on, give me your pot
There's
shot.
Nothing about hacking it. No, I am. When there is sufficient Packers data to cover, which obviously today, and I would venture to say tomorrow, there is plenty, I am more than happy. Like, I understand why people come to listen to our show. And I also, if there gets a point where I can kind of sense, well, you know, you're getting itchy, I'm good with that. You don't have to worry about old T getting itchy. Old T will be just fine. I'll scratch my back if I need to.
Yeah, good. All right, good. Good to know. All right. Because I do want to get to some of the conversation that we had with Xavier McKinney. I do want to get to a couple of other things that we talked about, including the Jaden Reed story, which we have not discussed yet to this point. And I want you to hear what Dr. Matt LaFleur said about Christian Watson, and then said that he's not a doctor, much like I'm not a doctor. So we'll get to all that coming up after I remind you that if you haven't downloaded the ESPN Wisconsin app, I just have one question for you. What are you waiting for? It's free. It's fully customizable. It's got everything you could possibly want from your ESPN Wisconsin favorite shows, from your favorite interviews. You can find Don Majkowski there. You can find Robert Brooks there. You can find my favorite Packer that I've ever covered, Dorsey Levens, on there. Everything you could possibly want. And you can skip over the nonsense that you're not interested in. Maybe it's, you know, my physical specimen story with Matt LaFleur. You just dip, dip, skip. I think it's 15 seconds. You can skip at a time. Boom, boom, boom. Get past that. Get to the stuff you want. It's all in the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN, and you can find it both in the Android and Apple app stores. All right, we'll hear from Xavier McKinney and his take on Jair Alexander, and how the team feels about the idea of keeping him on the roster for another year. Because that's what he spoke about, and I think you'll find his answer interesting. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This weekend on ESPN Radio, it's a World Series rematch in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani and the Los Angeles Dodgers go head-to-head with Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. Sunday on 100.5 ESPN.
What I want, you got that in mind. hard to beat Hall & Oates. Still can't believe you got this in the rotation still. Jesse, I love it. I mean, I'm glad you do. Don't get me wrong. But it's old school, for sure.
I think we'll get some new ones coming here pretty soon, too.
Are you compiling your list?
Yeah, oh yeah. Got the whole notes on the phone built up, so it's time we get some new ones in there.
Any Sabrina Carpenter? Tausch likes Sabrina Carpenter.
I've heard he hears her enough, so I think we're good.
Pink Pony Club?
Pink Pony Club will not be in the rotation, no.
Okay, all right, good. What is in the rotation is hearing from Xavier McKinney talking about Jair Alexander. He was asked this. I did not ask this question. This was one of the interviews that I missed because there were others going on, so I got to say hello to McKinney on his way out the door, but I never actually got to ask him a question. This was a very important question, and here is how he handled it.
I mean, yeah, we would all like him back. I talk to him every day, pretty much. So just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. But, you know, my thing that I always, you know, try to, you know, talk about is, you know, that's his, you know, his own situation. And I want the best for him. So at the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, bro, I just want what's best for you. And I'm going to be there regardless. You know what I'm saying? So I've been vocal about that, you know, with him. And like I said, we good friends. So but we all, you know, we want him here. And but however that situation plays out, that's how it plays out. And you know, I just want whatever's best for him.
I just want whatever's best for him, Tausch. We all want him here, but he's got to do what's right for him. Can you read between the lines on that for me, or is there no reading between the lines necessary?
No, there's lines that you're reading between, and it's that the money's probably not where Jair wants it to be. And I think, you know, obviously they're talking daily or a bunch, according to Xavier. And the only reason this thing hasn't kind of been consummated is because the money's not there. You've made the decision. I think we've heard and seen the reports that the Packers are more than open to having him back at their price.
Yep.
Jair, realizing he isn't getting the outside attention from the other 31 teams and there's no trade and all this other stuff, realized this can be his best opportunity. And I'm guessing the haircut that the Packers are asking him to take is not where he wants to be, at least right now. So that's where you're hearing all these other reports about him coming and all this other stuff. So I don't think you have to read a ton. Just like a lot of times when we report things, you could probably start piecing things together when we're telling you that there may be a certain offensive lineman that ain't super happy, and maybe maybe you could kind of put two and two together instead of coming at us. So in this case, pretty sure Jair's talking to Xavier. And Xavier says what he said there, and that what he's saying there is, you know what, man, I just want what's best for Jair. And right now, the offer that the Packers are giving Jair isn't what's best for Jair, so we're at a stalemate. That's how I read that.
Yes, I do believe you're right. By the way, speaking of that offensive lineman, he was not there at the OTA practice that we attended yesterday.
I thought Jim, Matt, and Molly asked me a great question yesterday on my appearance with them.
Ooh.
Who reports to Green Bay earlier, Elton or Jair? Because the reason, and I think the answer normally I thought would be easy, would be Elton.
Right.
Because we don't know what's going to happen. But when you factor in the leverage of showing up and forcing Green Bay's hand, I thought, what a really good question by that crew.
Yeah.
And it made me think, and I actually went with Jair.
I think because you're right.
If they don't get this done, the mandatory mini camp, I would think Jair is going to just show up and kind of force some hands. But, you know, I don't know where they're at in that process. But 3-4 months ago, I said, you're nuts. What are you talking about? Now I'm looking at it like, I think it might be old 2-3.
So play this out for me, because I think you make a really, really good point. Not even one that I would give a meep to move on. The motivation for Jair to report is to force the Packers' hand, because they don't want him out there and popping his Achilles out on Reinicke Field. They want him on the field and getting ready for the 2025 season once he's agreed to the contract that is at their number, that correct. He has taken the haircut that, say, Jim Rutledge took in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, not just a little trim that Matt LaFleur gets every week so he looks on point for $100 a week. Elton, on the other hand, if he reports, he obviously doesn't get fined, but he's the one taking on the risk of going out there and something crazy happening and suffering an injury without any of the guaranteed money that he's trying to get into his contract. So I agree, but
well,
the one the problem is the one thing that they have is the fining part,
yep,
which would motivate Elton to come in.
And what I was going to just say is that's where I think with the mandatory minicamp, not next week, but the following week, if
yeah,
my memory serves,
the 10th through the 12th.
That's where I could see Elton just coming in to say what's up. And he ain't going to practice, but he would be not holding in, but it would be the real Marshawn Lynch. Like, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it would actually, a lot of times, I think sometimes just showing up, showing the organization kind of where you're at, that, hey, man, this ain't personal. You know, the organization always tells you, man, it ain't personal, just business. Elton, if I'm Elton, I just come in, grab a snack, hang out, talk to your fellas, have a good time, do a whole thing, go out on the field. If you want to talk to the media, great. If you don't, have a deal, have a couple days, and head home. That'll be a nice little voyage up to Green Bay so you don't get fined.
Some might say a fantastic voyage, like Coolio once sang. All right, I do want to play that Matt LaFleur audio because I'm not a doctor, although Tausch anointed me one, and now he's taking away my medical license on Christian Watson. I want you to hear what Matt LaFleur had to say about him. I want to talk about what it would mean for this team, even with the other wide receivers they have, if somehow Christian Watson is back before the expectation was for him to be back. And again, we're putting the cart before the horse. He's got a long way to go. But there's no denying that there is some optimism and some encouraging signs from him. We'll talk about that during the 11 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.